From Iowa Public Radio News, this is Under the Golden Dome, a weekly podcast about the Iowa legislature. I'm John Pimble. In 2020, all seats in Iowa's House of Representatives and half of the Iowa Senate were up for election. The senator holding the majority leader position in the governor's next election is in 2022. 2020 was also a presidential election year. On October 14th, 2.5 weeks before Election Day, President Donald Trump energizes a crowd at the Des Moines airport.
We're joined tonight by some incredible friends and great people. Your governor, who's done an incredible job, Kim Reynolds, and Kevin, her husband.
This is the week Iowa passes the 100,000 mark for the number of COVID-19 cases, as well as reaching 1,500 deaths.
How are we doing, by the way? Okay, we're looking good. That's good. Thank you for everything, Kim.
The president also acknowledges Iowa legislative leaders in attendance.
Iowa Senate Majority Leader Jack Whitfer.
And one of these leaders is the grandson of U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley.
Speaker of the Iowa House. Oh, you got to tell me this. This is good genes, I think, right? There are genes involved here, right? Pat Grassley, right?
In the November election, Iowa Republicans gain seats in the Iowa House, and the Senate maintains a Republican majority. Combined with a Republican governor, this is the fifth year for the party's Iowa trifecta. For the presidential election, President Trump wins Iowa, but he does not win the nation. Since then, he has repeatedly made false claims about election fraud and that he won by a landslide. He reiterates this and other inaccuracies about the election during an hour-long speech in Washington, D.C. on January 6th.
All of us here today do not want to see our election victory stolen by emboldened radical left Democrats, which is what they're doing, and stolen by the fake news media. That's what they've done and what they're doing. We will never give up. We will never concede. It doesn't happen. You don't concede when there's theft involved.
This is happening as a joint session of Congress is about to meet a few blocks away to count the votes that will favor President-elect Joe Biden.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol.
The president encourages his supporters to march to the U.S. Capitol and says only the votes cast legally should be counted.
We're going to try and give our Republicans, the weak ones, because the strong ones don't need any of our help. We're going to try and give them the kind of pride and boldness that they need to take back our country. So let's walk down Pennsylvania Avenue.
The president does not go to the Capitol, but many of his supporters do. Most gather outside of the building, but some force their way into the Capitol after smashing windows. The halls fill with boisterous protesters. Among them is an Iowan who aggressively ignores a Capitol Police officer's warning to back up. The joint session of Congress abruptly stops with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley announcing a recess.
And it will stand in recess until the call of the chair.
We'll pause.
Protesters are in the building.
Thank you.
All members of Congress are taken away to a safe location. Over the next few hours, many areas of the Capitol are damaged and vandalized. One protester is shot by a U.S. Capitol Police officer and dies. Officers are also injured, and one dies from injuries sustained during the siege. The next day, Iowa legislative leaders and Governor Kim Reynolds participate in an already planned press event to preview the legislative session. Governor Reynolds talks about the riot.
I want to take this opportunity to, again, just condemn the actions of those who stormed our nation's capital and chose to incite violence yesterday. It's unacceptable, and they should be prosecuted to the full extent.
For weeks after the election, Governor Reynolds was reluctant to acknowledge President Trump's election loss. She's asked if she regrets not acknowledging the outcome of the presidential election sooner.
Last night, Congress certified the electoral results. I believe President Trump said this morning there will be a peaceful transition. And we also, though, need to, there are a lot of questions out there. And so, you know, we can still move forward in a peaceful transition and figure out some way to responsibly take a look at making sure that the people feel that the integrity of our election process is intact, And we shouldn't be afraid of answering those questions, of asking those questions, and seeing what we can do to make sure that we have a transparent system moving forward. And, you know, it has to be self-evident. They can't just be told. You know, Americans can't be told it is. They have to believe it. And so it has to be, you know, it has to be transparent. It has to be secure. It has to be strict, and it has to be fair. And we can do it. I believe we've done it in Iowa. We have, you know, we are a great example. We're a great model for other states to follow.
With the legislative session about to start, the global pandemic continues to claim lives. In Iowa, there are hundreds of new reported infections of COVID-19 every day. The Centers for Disease Control has recommended the wearing of masks to help reduce the spread of the virus. Governor Reynolds has issued a proclamation for the state that masks are to be worn while inside when it isn't possible to socially distance for more than 15 minutes. This proclamation is in effect through February 6th.
I'm going to, if I can't socially distance, and I'm around somebody for longer than 15 minutes and I can't socially distance, I'm going to wear a mask. We do that. My office does that.
The leaders of the legislature will not require masks to be worn in the Capitol. Speaker of the House Pat Grassley says he does encourage mask wearing, but he won't mandate it for members of the legislature or visitors to the Capitol.
My plan is to wear a mask when I can't socially distance. Unless I'm in the chair, I'll be wearing one when I can't socially distance. I'll be recommending that of our caucus. We have no way to enforce that. Even if we were to say everyone in the caucus has to have a mask, there's no way for us to enforce that and say, sorry, you're not wearing a mask, you can't come on the floor. We don't have the ability to do that with even our own members.
There is also no requirement for anyone working at the Capitol to disclose if they have a case of the coronavirus. Senate Majority Leader Jack Whitfer says he also encourages people to wear a mask at the Capitol and hopes if someone has the virus, they will disclose it.
And you're balancing privacy with public safety and the constitutional right of a senator and rep to do their job. I would expect every single person, whether they're a legislator, a lobbyist, a member of the media, a constituent, to report it. Just like it happens in any business or any organization, when someone tests positive, they generally report it and they quarantine. So the thought that someone's going to test positive and then just continue to come to the Capitol and try to spread it to people, I don't think that's an accurate perception of what would likely happen at the Capitol. And how do you enforce it? And how do you balance the privacy? And so how I look at it is we're treating it just like most businesses would treat their work. When someone tests positive, that person would come to leadership and say, I have a positive test. What's the process?
The House Minority Leader, Todd Pritchard, says he will require members of his party to wear masks at the Capitol, just as they did when the session met in June.
My members were very willing to make sure that they were taking proper steps as prescribed by the CDC to protect the people that they work with and themselves from the pandemic, and not adding to the numbers here in the state ourselves. And so, you know, I'm concerned and want to avoid, you know, turning the legislature into a super spreader event. And so we're going to be doing everything that we know to do within our caucus to protect ourselves and to protect the public from further spreading this virus.
During the first week of the legislative session, Iowa crosses the 300,000 mark for new COVID cases. The death toll as of January 14th is 4,251. As to vaccination, on January 11th, 96,686 Iowans have received a vaccine shot. But for it to be effective, it requires two doses. And so far, 5,652 Iowans have received two shots. This is the Legislative Podcast, Under the Golden Dome. I'm John Pimble.
If you value knowing what's going on in your state, share this podcast with your friends. Make sure to tag Iowa Public Radio on social media and use the hashtag UTGDPod.
Under the Golden Dome is supported by the Iowa Bankers Association and by Cultivating Compassion, the Dr. Richard Deming Foundation, fostering causes that enrich the community, generate understanding, and cultivate compassion, including Above and Beyond Cancer.
I, Jake Chapman.
I, Jake Chapman.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
In the Senate, leadership is changing. The new Senate president is Jake Chapman.
And the Constitution of the state of Iowa.
The opening day of the session is mostly ceremonial, where party leaders give opening day speeches aimed at establishing the priorities. Senate President Chapman mentions this will be the 175th year of Iowa's statehood.
In our early days, Iowa welcomed well over 70,000 pioneers who trekked through our rolling prairies with an eye set on the west. While many of the pioneers and early settlers continued westward, others ultimately and quite unexpectedly decided to stay in Iowa. One such individual was Edwin Guyberson. Like those in whose wagon trails followed, he had his sights on the gold rush in California. However, upon finding the beauty of Madison County, he planted his roots, raised a large family, served in community and government positions, and eventually served in the Iowa House of Representatives in the 3rd and 7th General Assembly. I am proud to be a descendant of this great man.
As a senator in previous General Assemblies, Chapman has advocated to restrict abortion rights. Last year, he led the charge for a constitutional amendment stating abortion is not a protected constitutional right. The amendment passed in the Senate last year, but did not come up for debate in the House.
This legislative body has stood courageously for the life of the unborn. Regrettably, 5 unelected judges, with the stroke of a pen, fabricated a constitutional right to an abortion under Iowa's Constitution. This egregious usurpation of power will not be left unchecked. It is our responsibility, it is our oath-bound duty to rightfully propose to the people of Iowa a constitutional amendment to correct this judicial overreach.
Amendments to the state constitution require passage in both chambers for 2 consecutive general assemblies before they can go before voters. 2021 is the beginning of this 2-year General Assembly, and any constitutional amendment can start the process this or next year. The Democrats also have new leadership, with Minority Leader Senator Zach Walls.
When disaster struck, we missed our opportunity to stop the spread. As a result, the virus is tearing through our state, and thousands of Iowans have lost their lives. Some of us have lost family and loved ones. Many of us have lost friends and neighbors. All of us have lost constituents.
Walls proposes that there be a commission to study how the state and private sector reacted to the pandemic.
Republicans and Democrats must come together to create an independent and nonpartisan blue ribbon COVID commission with full investigatory powers. The COVID Commission should help us understand state government mistakes and failures, investigate negligence or profiteering in the private sector, and prepare a report for the legislature about what steps we must take to ensure that we are better prepared when, not if, the next pandemic strikes.
In the House of Representatives, Minority Leader Todd Pritchard is also critical of government action surrounding the pandemic.
A failure of leadership at both the federal and state level have already left over 4,000 Iowans dead, and our state's response has been grossly inadequate. Next, we need a robust COVID package focused on long-term recovery efforts to help our economy. We need aggressive plans to help families recover, get kids back to school safely, reopen small businesses, and support our dedicated healthcare workers who are on the front lines of this pandemic.
Pritchard talks about the riots at the United States Capitol and says the falsehoods about the presidential election have not adequately been condemned.
We cannot turn a blind eye to these events and what led up to them. As an elected leader, I am disgusted at the reaction, or rather the inaction, of some and many of my Republican colleagues here in Iowa. For too long, politicians have not only enabled, but served as a willing partner in the spread of misinformation about election fraud. Silence is deafening. If you cannot condemn this violence against our democracy in our capital, what will you condemn? Until you have committed yourself to truth and democratic ideals, you lose any moral high ground that you may try to claim.
House Majority Leader Matt Winchell begins his opening remarks by addressing Representative Pritchard.
Leader Pritchard, violence and anarchy of any kind is unacceptable. Doesn't matter what the political ideology is. And so let me, as the Majority Leader of the Iowa House, stand here today and say I denounce it, whether it was what happened in D.C. or the riots that happened over the summer. So you've got a leader standing here to say it's not okay.
Winchell talks about the Republican gains from the November election and says this is sending a clear and resounding message.
The election proves that Iowans believe in the policies that House Republicans have pushed forward over the past 10 years. Policies like lowering taxes, providing resources to our educational institutions, restoring Second Amendment freedoms, protecting the unborn, balancing the budget, and so much more. House Republicans have received the message loud and clear, and we will continue to provide Iowans with the governance they deserve.
With the opening day speeches done in the House and Senate, they get ready for a joint session to hear the governor deliver the condition of the state.
A good civics lesson teaches you how to be an engaged citizen, and listening to Under the Golden Dome helps you be an engaged Iowan. When you become a member of Iowa Public Radio, you support coverage that keeps you engaged and informed. Give now at iowapublicradio.org/donate. It takes just a few minutes to make a powerful impact.
Under the Golden Dome is supported by Cultivating Compassion, the Dr. Richard Deming Foundation, and by the Iowa Bankers Association. Small businesses are the backbone of Iowa communities, and they're backed by Iowa banks. See how banks are helping small businesses see a stronger tomorrow at iowabankers.com.
It is my pleasure to introduce Governor Kim Reynolds for her condition of the state message to the 2021 session of the 89th General Assembly.
A governor's condition of the state is among one of the most watched events of the legislative session in any given year. It's where the governor's priorities are laid out, and she shares her proposal for the state budget for the next fiscal year. Governor Kim Reynolds begins by talking about the challenges of 2020.
It's been a year, and I'll let you fill in whatever adjective you want. COVID-19, civil unrest, a drought, a derecho. We've been beaten and battered in about every way imaginable, and some unimaginable. But together, we've met every challenge with bravery and outright grit. We're told that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character. From what I've seen, there's no shortage of character in the people of Iowa.
The governor announces a plan to improve and increase internet access across the state, especially in rural areas.
About a third of our counties are still broadband deserts, where high-speed internet is rarely often offered, and for many Iowans, it's just not affordable. Iowa also has the second lowest broadband speeds in the country. I'm done taking small steps and hoping for big change. This is the time for bold action and leadership. Let's plant a stake in the ground and declare that every part of Iowa will have affordable high-speed broadband by 2025, and we'll get there by committing $450 million over that time period, which will leverage millions more in private investment, giving Iowa the biggest build-out of high-speed internet in the country.
Funding for mental health services for children and adults has always had support, but lawmakers have never agreed on how to fund it. In many areas, property taxes fund these efforts. The governor wants to allocate more money from the state's general fund.
I'm proposing to increase mental health funding by $15 million this year and another $15 million next to fully fund the reform efforts. And I know that our mental health regions are working on innovative solutions to address the unique needs of children who have been affected by the pandemic. And because of the legislation that we passed last year, which allows schools to host behavioral health sessions using telehealth, kids no longer have to leave school for hours to receive quality treatment. That's a lesson many of us learned over the last 10 months. Telehealth is a powerful tool that we should continue to encourage and expand.
In March, schools moved to virtual learning, but for months, Reynolds has pushed to return to in-person learning. Now, the governor wants to create a law that reinforces this.
The vast majority of our schools found a way to safely and responsibly reopen all day, Monday through Friday. It's past time that every district make that happen. As one parent told me, options are good, but if some parents get the option to go 100% online, why don't my kids get the option to be 100% in the classroom? And I agree. So tonight, I'm asking the legislature to immediately send a bill to my desk that gives parents the choice to send their children back to school full time. We can't wait any longer, and our kids can't wait any longer.
Governor Reynolds talks about the riot in the U.S. Capitol and praises law enforcement.
They put their lives on the line every day, something we should never forget. And if we needed a reminder, last year's civil unrest and last week's attack on the Capitol provided it. Violence and anarchy are not acceptable, period.
The governor is also referring to protests across the country last summer after a black man died at the hands of police in Minnesota. Iowa's Capitol was often a place protesters gathered. However, there was never any damage to the Capitol building.
To that end, I'll be introducing a bill that protects law enforcement and continues our march towards racial justice. The bill will make it clear that if you riot or attack our men and women in uniform, you will be punished. We won't stand for it. The bill will also ban racial profiling and other forms of disparate treatment, because no actions should ever be taken based on the color of someone's skin.
After her condition of the state address, there are some things Democratic leaders agree with.
I would say that the governor's proposal on broadband is exciting.
Senate Minority Leader Zach Walls likes the broadband investment.
$450 million over 3 years is real money. And I think, you know, she acknowledged tonight that previous investments in broadband from Republicans in the state have been small steps, and I think that's correct. And so taking a big step forward, it's overdue.
House Minority Leader Todd Pritchard says his party is willing to work with the governor where they can.
Whether it be broadband or civil rights and those types of things. But, you know, I guess speaking for myself, we need to make sure that we are addressing this pandemic. We're being honest with the public. We're giving them the tools and the leadership they need to keep Iowa safe and get through this pandemic as safely and as quickly as we can, so we can get life back to what we once had.
During and after the governor's speech, many Republicans were seen on the televised broadcast not wearing masks. Democratic Minority Whip Jennifer Confirst says that's frustrating.
There are Iowans who will not be able to come up and practice their constitutional right to talk to their elected officials face to face because it's not a safe place for them. And that's frustrating because this should be a place where Iowans can come and feel that they're safe and can stay healthy when they're here. And it's such a simple thing to do to wear a mask. And so it's frustrating to look around the room and see that this very simple thing is not something that all of my colleagues are willing to participate in.
The pandemic and what are the best public health practices at the Capitol are likely to continue to be sources of controversy during the planned 110 days of this session. Because of COVID-19, many journalists are limiting their time or staying away from the Capitol to work remotely with virtual options. That includes me. There are committee and subcommittee meetings already happening, and some have technical challenges sharing online. But reporters are finding ways to bring stories about the 2021 legislative session to you. I'm John Pemble. This is Under the Golden Dome, a weekly legislative podcast. Make sure you are subscribed so it will pop up in your podcast feed every Friday. Thanks to Iowa Public Radio's Statehouse reporter, Katerina Sestarik, for contributing a great deal to this show. We also rely on the newly formed organization, Iowa Capital Press Association, to navigate what is an extremely unusual session. Script editing for this episode comes from Michael Leland and Catherine Perkins. Additional support for the show comes from our digital team, Matt Siren and Lindsay Moon. Under the Golden Dome is a production of Iowa Public Radio.